You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm also a keynote speaker, trainer and consultant in the sector and published author on influencer marketing strategy. Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing related shows. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this show just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. Now, today I'm talking with Jane Mallion. She's the founder of the English Cream Tea Company. And I have to say, she's an absolute hoot and someone that has had multi-million views on TikTok. So she tells me about her fascinating story of how she's created this huge fan base and her amazing company. And this is what she had to say.
It's my thing. Afternoon tea has always been my thing. As a child, every weekend, we'd make our own cakes and sandwiches. And I loved it because nobody got roaring drunk. There weren't any terrible rows because it's afternoon tea. It's not dinner. It's not cocktails. There was no swearing. It was just harmony and loveliness. And when I got married and we had our children, we brought them up to enjoy afternoon tea. Two sons, very spirited, kind of naughty boys, but they got afternoon tea and we went once a year to the Savoy or the Ritz or something, and they knew there they behaved. Not the rest of the year, but that's fine. And still, they're all grown up now. We still go for afternoon tea in whatever country they happen to be in. So it's always been my thing. My hips will testify to it, I'm afraid. But I met an elderly lady. And at that time, my husband and I were running a wedding catering company, not an afternoon tea specific company. And the elderly lady and I were talking about our favourite thing and the London hotels. And she was saying which was her favourite, and then said she'd had her last afternoon tea ever in all the world. I said, no, don't say that. That's a terrible thing to say. She went, no. She said, I can't travel anymore. It just, you know, wipes me out. So I've accepted I'm never having another afternoon tea. And I tell you, the light bulb literally went on.
Wow. So she's the catalyst for
the
company. She
was. And I have delivered her one since, you understand.
So tell me about the company then. What is it that you provide and how have you been going?
So we started 11 years ago. Bizarrely, no other companies were delivering full afternoon tea in Great Britain. Zero. That seems ridiculous, but nobody was doing it. Very few still deliver full afternoon tea. There's been a spate of it during lockdown, local tea rooms rushing round with something to your door. But we deliver all over the UK. And it became my thing. How could the special indulgence of afternoon tea, not a bag of crumbs, nothing, you know, we're not talking Greggs, they're great, but we're not talking that. We're talking something different. And how could that be delivered to you and it still be in perfect condition, have a big, beautiful satin bow on it, and the reveal is exciting, and, you know, you're getting the whole experience, even though you're not at one of the hotels. And that was my aim.
And so, presumably, you've delivered teas to all sorts of maybe famous people as well, have you?
We have. Sometimes we're asked to sign non-disclosures, sadly. So that puts paid to that, which is such a shame because I'd love to just say Oh, guess who we just delivered? I'd love to do that, but that would be the end of it, of course. But yes, all sorts of people, because it is a perfect gift for the person who has everything. I mean, really, if they've got everything, no one says no to the door. There it is, a beautiful hamper, and inside is your smoked salmon sandwiches and your, you know, cakes and scones and scones and all that. Nobody says no to that.
Well, you've actually used an interesting word there in terms of the word scone or scone. And that has been something that the great British public have debated and have rows on in families all across the country. So how do you say it? Do you say scone or scone?
So I called my book Scone or Scone. I give about 100 talks a year, and I ask the audience every time what they vote for. Hands up if you say scone. Hands up if you say scone. About 58%, in my opinion, say scone. But what do you think Her Majesty says?
Scone.
No, she says scone.
Does she really?
She really does. What does she know? Nothing. Well, when we started, we could actually only deliver a 20-mile radius initially for the first month. So it was our scone zone. Now, I tell you, you can't have a scone zone because, you know, that's ridiculous. And we have a scone phone for orders. So I maintain Her Majesty's just got this little bit mistaken.
Do you know what I love about you? A, your enthusiasm. Your accent is beautifully, quintessentially English as well, which I think is part of your persona, isn't it, as well? And I know that when we were speaking before, you are loved and adored by Americans, aren't you?
Yes.
Had so much attention from an American. And do you deliver to America or not?
Well, we can't deliver fresh food. We can't get clotted cream over the borders, but we can deliver jam, tea, my book, ambient things, tea towels and so on. And of course, we can do online etiquette courses, which I do. You're right. The Americans seem to appreciate my voice a lot more than the British do.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, you should do voiceovers, though, for an American audience. You know, you could do.
Maybe.
You could, because I know that actors and actresses during the pandemic, because they couldn't work, they were doing all sorts of personal greetings, and you could definitely look at that as a bit of a sideline.
I'd like that. I've done my first one where somebody said, could you say happy birthday to my friend? She loves you on TikTok. And I've done my first one of those. We'll see where it leads. But yes, the Americans seem to appreciate the voice, and the British think I'm a supercilious snob who needs a slap.
So let's just talk a little bit more, obviously, because we, you know, this is an influencer podcast. And when we talk about influencer marketing, so often it's the younger audience. And yet what I think is fascinating is how we resonate with people that are a little bit different or have got an interesting story to tell. And one of the things I love about you is that you're really in a niche space, and you've really perfected this really, really well. So tell me about just TikTok, but also some of the results that you've had on Instagram and TikTok as well have been fantastic, haven't they?
Well, we stumbled onto it. I have to say, I had never even been on TikTok up to 4 months ago. I didn't actually have a mobile phone either. Luddite, officially. So somebody said to me, you should go on TikTok. And I went, no, isn't that just dancing people, you know, doing the floss or whatever it is, young girls and all of that? She said, well, it isn't just that. In fact, I went on a little course, and this lady said it can be good for business. So I just thought, I'll just have a go. And so I made a video of my husband, because he's really our chef and wonder man, making finger sandwiches. I mean, sandwiches, you know, this isn't rocket science. And he makes them beautifully. In fairness, they are a wonder, because he packs them beautifully and they're like, oh, that's great. Anyway, I didn't know you were meant to set it to music. I didn't know you were meant to keep it, you know, 30 seconds long. I did a 3.5 minute video with me talking over the top, just going, and now he's going to cut the sandwiches, and you can see he's putting them on the side. And I'm just doing the voiceover, just describing it. Put it on. Within a week, we had 4.5 million views on that. Google says, I don't know whether this is trustworthy, if you put at Afternoon Tea Jane. If you put that in, Afternoon Tea Jane on TikTok, you write that into Google, it says we've got 230 million views in 3 months. But apparently I'm not doing it right, because we're not doing music, I'm talking, and they're quite long.
But actually, you know, what the hell? You know, the way which content marketing works is driven by algorithms. But I also think that what you've got is so unique, so unusual, and therefore that's what's resonating. But what it does do is it's showing, I think, that people love to be entertained, they like to be inspired, they like to be educated, but they now, with so much content on the web, they like things that are different. And I think the combination of you as the character, your voice, your persona, your interesting enthusiasm, and you've got a quirkiness to you, which I think all of those add to the experience of why people like what they see. It doesn't matter the fact that you don't know. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, we've accidentally tumbled into something else on this too, because so many people ask if either my husband and I will adopt them. I mean, hundreds of people are asking, or if we can be their grandparents. And they are saying that they are so overwhelmed with the world at the moment, and we are comforting. They watch us last thing at night, apparently, and would like me to record bedtime stories. We'll see about that. But it might be that in this world of COVID, Brexit, inflation, Ukraine, just all that's going on, people really have been left completely discombobulated, bless them. And to feel that this is just sandwiches and cakes and come round and have a cup of tea, and maybe this is the fireside coziness that they're missing, and we'd be happy to provide that.
Yeah, well, it just shows you that actually, what, when you put some content out there, you think you know what's going to happen, but you know, you're surprised sometimes by what could spin off from this. I mean, although you've shared a book, for example, about Scone and Scone, I think there's a whole lot more that you can do, which actually plays to the points that you've just raised, you know, comforting stories, bedtime stories that you could overlay or something. There could be all sorts of ways in which you could do that. You definitely entertain me, I have to say. I don't often laugh hysterically on a podcast or a video, and that just shows you that you've had an impact on me as well.
Thank you, Gordon.
which is great. So what else? So you're on Instagram, you're on TikTok, are you on anything else?
We've just relaunched on YouTube. We had a tragedy. We had 750,000 people, and YouTube took my account down like that. No notice, nothing wrong. I mean, it's afternoon tea. How risque can you go? There was nothing dubious happening. And they wouldn't put it back. They said they couldn't find it. I honestly spent 7 months trying. So anyway, we've relaunched. And I've started a channel called English Cream TV. Little joke there. See what I did? Lots of little videos and how-tos. And then I've also just lately gone bigger on Pinterest.
Yes. Now, Pinterest is massive, isn't it, in terms of visual?
It is. I've been so slow to the party. I had a page on there, but I wasn't really taking it seriously. And of course, Pinterest is pretty much where our main market is, predominantly female, predominantly slightly older, possibly those with a bit more money. And I love Pinterest myself. I love the visuals, and I wasn't really doing much on it. So I've slapped myself around the face and started to add 2 videos a week.
And what sort of reaction have you had from that?
Well, it's building up. I've gone from about 5 followers to about 500 in 3 weeks. So it's heading in the right direction. And I've opened up a shop on Instagram and Facebook, but haven't yet succeeded on TikTok. They are making it so hard. Food items, you have to provide, all the registration and background certification and, you know, where is the cocoa bean grown for your chocolate brownie? I don't know. So we're having fun and games with that.
You said that you've been doing lots of talks, which has been great. Will there be any extension to the product ranges at all?
Well, I keep taking myself in hand, because really we should be on Amazon in America and we're not. So there's lots of scope, or not just America, you know, China and so on. We have exported in the past to 7 different countries. The trouble is we've got a skeleton staff here, and every new project just takes up more time and energy. So really, Gordon, if you'd like to take over as managing director, and I'll just be a full-time TikToker, we might have a plan.
Whereabouts do you live, by the way?
Essex, deepest Essex. We are in the Rodings. There are 8 tiny villages. Ours is White Roding. There's Leaden Roding. There's a whole bunch of them between Chelmsford and Stansted and Harlow and Dunmow and that sort of territory.
My family all around Chelmsford, and I'm coming back to Cambridge, so I'm probably en route to you. So yes, we should definitely do afternoon tea.
Yeah, honestly, I'm sitting in the tea room at the moment, which is called the Secret Sconery, or Sconery, I'll allow it. It's an office the rest of the time, and then we de-office it and turn it back into the tea room for our afternoon teas. But yes, come and have a cream tea with me.
Let's do that. So let's just sort of finish off. Give maybe 2 or 3 of your best tips and advice. And I know sometimes you'll be self-deprecating, we've stumbled onto it. But, you know, you haven't. There's some really salient points. Perhaps just give me a handful of some of the things that you would say.
Well, I am an away-from person. Let me just explain. Towards people are very goal-oriented. It's fairly straightforward for them. They set it all out, step 1, step 2, this is what I'm going to do. I'm much more motivated by what will happen if I don't do something. And you can put off these bright ideas. If you are even a mumpreneur or, you know, an entrepreneur at home, and you've got this idea, you can put it off so long and then it won't happen. So 1 is, how will you feel if on your deathbed you haven't done it? Will you be kicking yourself? So that would be my first thing, you know, to avoid regret. My next one is about a team. Nobody can do it all. And we've got a tiny team here and we still can't do it all. So your team can be your buddies, your family. It can be people you employ. It doesn't have to be. I've done lots of swapsies with people. That's probably illegal. I'll do this or I'll make you some brownie and you do this. And so gather your team around you because you will need it. And also you do need holidays and breaks, and sometimes you might not feel well. And so what's your system for that? One I should have done more of was the exit strategy. I think you could have an exit strategy in mind when you start up.
Often people do. They look at a 3 or 4 year plan, particularly if they've got investors who, you know, if you think about private equity, they're always looking for that sort of 4 year exit, aren't they? So that in a way is in itself a motivator. Because to be doing the same thing for an entirety of your life can be quite challenging, you know.
It's unlikely. Get the legals sorted. They're tiresome. I hate detail. I hate it. But if you haven't done the legals, somebody can copy your idea or, you know, take advantage of you. And then we hate that even more. So do get some advice and help if you need a contract or you need terms and conditions. And once it's done, it's done. And then, you know, you've got that behind you. And then I would say not to sell. I don't mean that literally, because of course we all have to sell. But somebody said, if you do TikTok, don't go and say, this is our product and we want you to buy it. And so we're just doing a behind the scenes of making cakes and sandwiches. And it is what it is.
That's exactly the right way to do it, you know. And I said educate, entertain, inspire. Those are my sort of mottos. Behind the science video or how to are still one of the two types of video content that work really, really well. Anyway, I think it's been an absolute pleasure. A bit of a hoot, I have to say. And I'm so pleased that I've met you. And I'm sure our podcast will do extra well because of your appearance on it. All the best. And thanks again.
Thank you, Gordon.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show and give me your feedback. gordon@gordonglenister.com, or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you're able to leave us a 5-star review, then we do really appreciate it. Also, if you want any sort of help in creating an influencer marketing strategy, or you want to join the Influencer Marketing Roundtable weekly event, then just head over to www.gordonglenister.com. And if you want to find out more of the shows that we have, go over to the Influence Podcast Network. Thanks again to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.